Today's daf is Bava Basra daf Chaf. And we are 18 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Tes Amid Beis Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael Hanesunim Batzaru Vashivya. So, we're moving along in Perek Lo Yachbar, which deals primarily with the laws of Shutfin, the laws of Shcheinim, Chardul Blaz. But as we've seen, one of the themes of the beginning of Bava Basra is digression. Now, most of the digression that we've had up until this point was B'inyanei Agada. Today's daf is going to be Kimat Mitchila V'ad Soif, a digression. However, this is Mikotze El Agatza. It's B'pchines Malacha Eitzel Agada, Klach Eitzel Negon V'Aholos. We're going to digress and discuss a halacha related to Aholos. So the backdrop is, we know that a mace is metama. Not only is a mace metama, but it's metama ba'oil, meaning anyone or anything that is under the same roof as a mace, or anyone or anything that is mahil over a mace, or anyone or anything that a mace is mahil over, becomes tummy. It's one of the chidushim of tumas mace. Specifically, the Gemara is going to discuss a house where there was a mace. Now, the mace was in one of the rooms in the house, kemuvin. The room where the mace was had a window. On the other side of the window, there's another room. So you have two rooms that are adjoined by a wall. There's a window or a hole inside that wall. There's a mace in one of the rooms. The question is, does the tumah of the mace travel through the chaloyin into the adjacent room so that if someone or something is in that other room, it will be tameh tumas oil? Meaning, that's pashit, that anyone or anything that's in the same room as the mace is going to be tameh. The question is, what about the other room? Do we look at the other room as being an extension of the room where the mace is? As a result, it too is subject to the laws of tumas oil. Or perhaps, being that there's a wall in between, not. Really, what it seems to be dependent on is the window. That's that gray area. The fact that you have this open space inside that wall, is that mechaber the two rooms, so that now we say the tumah travels through the chaloyin into the other room or not? Now, high level, the answer to this little conundrum is tali in what the purpose of the window is, and what the size of the window is. Lo inyoneinu, our sugya is going to discuss a window where the shear, based on halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, is that in the event that it's a tefach by tefach, meaning it's a tefach wide by a tefach long, then the halacha is that window would be considered big enough for the tumah to travel through the window and be metama something that's on the other side of the window. The daf is going to begin with a memra that one of the Talmidim of Shmuel said over in the name of his great Rebbe. And really, the crux of Shmuel's memra, as we're going to see, is that let's say you had a window that separated these two rooms. Again, wall with a window inside of it, rooms on either side of the wall. It was a tefach by tefach, meaning it was the requisite shear to say that tumah could travel through. However, there was something right now that was in the windowsill that's blocking off part of the window, so that right now, if you were going to measure the Pesach of the Chaloyin, it would actually be less than a Tefach B'Tefach. Meaning, it's not like there's something proper over there. There's something there, something, and here's the punchline, that there's good reason to believe that at some point, whoever put that thing there is going to take it back. It's only there somewhat temporarily. It's something that he needs, etc., etc. Would that be Mima'et the Chaloyin, or would that not be Mima'et the Chaloyin? Meaning, would we say that being that right now it's there, so right now you don't have a chaloyin that's a tefach al tefach, as a result, we look at this wall as being a proper stima, thus the tumah can't travel from one side to the other side. Or maybe no. Meaning that this thing that's there is eventually going to be removed, so we can't look at that thing as actually being sois in the chaloin. Thus, what we see here is a tefach by tefach, even though there isn't a tefach by tefach, but it's going to be removed, so we can't really be machshev it. And it's for that reason the tumo would be able to travel. It's regarding this shaylo that Shmuel opines right at the onset of today's daf, and really the Gemara is going to have an amid and a half of discussion of Shmuel's halacha, and this will be the primary topic, not the entire daf, but the primary topic of today's daf. It's just kedai to mention, what does this have to do with Perek Lo Yachbar? So it's not going to be immediately evident, but as we go through some of the Gemara's Shakla V'Tarya, as it discusses Shita Shmuel, it's going to reference back to the Mishnah that we learned in the beginning of the Perek, and it's for that reason this digression is tucked away here in Perek Lo Yachbar. Either way, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna Amar Shmuel, Rokik. So Rashi says that a Rokik is Sufganim, Charora, Daka Viraka. So it's like a piece of cake, a cookie, a wafer. Sounds like a donut. That's daka viraka. But it's something flimsy. It's not something thick. It's not something dense. If that was by the window, again, that was in the wall, that again separated these two rooms, that again had a mace on one side of it. So this rokik doesn't have the ability to be memai techaloin. You're still going to deher a tefach a tefach. And says the Gemara, Ma'ir Yerokik, Afilo Ava Nami, meaning Shmuel sounds like he's saying a halacha regarding a Rokik Dafka, which is a very specific type of mezainus. Meaning, it sounds a little bit like if it was Ava, if this was thicker, if this was something that was a little bit more intense, then maybe not. And the Gemara's assumption is that it probably shouldn't make a difference. And the Gemara says, Enichinami, Loimi Boyakamer. When Shmuel said his halacha regarding a rokik, he didn't mean dafka rokik, but there was an extra chiddish in rokik. How so? Loimi Boyah Ava, because that's poshit in the event that what he would put there would be an Ava, given this chazile, being that it's something that's roi lachilo, loim maftale. So for sure, we could assume that whoever put it there is going to remove it, and being that he's going to remove it, so it's not there permanently. As a result, it doesn't have the ability to be memayit bechaloyin. Avul rokik the mamis, but this rokik, which I guess if it sits here by this window, it's going to become mollus. It's not really something you're going to want to necessarily eat. Eima betuli maftale. Maybe you plan on leaving it there for a long time, and as a result, maybe it should have the ability to be memayit techaloyin. We should look at it as something a little bit more permanent. Kamashmalan, that's the chiddush, that even a rokik, being that this is something that at some point is going to be removed, so it's for that reason it does not have the ability to be memayit techaloyin. So what's Shmuel's memra? His memra is that if somebody puts something by the chaloy, which right now has the shear for tuma to be able to travel through, right? But because he put this thing by the chaloyin, it was memayit from this year. But he plans on removing it. For example, it's a Danish, so it's not going to be there forever, right? Zok Shmuel Rokik, Einoi memayit b'chaloyin. Why? Because being that your das is to remove it, so therefore it doesn't have the ability to be memayit. But the Gemara says, I have a technical question. A Rokik, food, is a dover ha-mekabel tumah. V'chol dover shu mekabel tumah, eni choytzes b'fnei ha-tumah. And one of the halachas in Hilchas Tumah is, specifically in Hilchas Ha-Halos, that if you want to create a mechitza to be mafsik in the world of Tumas Oil, that mechitza has to be a dover she'ini mekabel tumah. L'chura, a rokik is a dover ha-mekabel tumah. So what's the havamina that it should be able to be choytzes? Again, Shmuel's halach is that it's not choytzes because you're going to remove it. Why do you have to tell me that it's not choytzes because you're going to remove it? Typically, meaning you're saying good, but say better. This whole question of the donut being made is then on arrival. Why? Because it's a dover. I'm a kabel tomos. So the Gemara says shenilosh b'mei peres. It's talking about when this charora, this rokik was needed, it was done so with mei peres. What's the point? The point is that food is makabel tomos. But in order for food to be makabel tomos, it has to be mukhshel kabel tomos. How does food become mukhshel lekabel tumah? Meseches machshirin. It's if it comes in contact with one of the seven mashkins, then it's susceptible to be able to be tummy. The assumption of the Gemara's question was that there's mashkin that's used to knead this sofkanim. And if that's the case, by definition, it was already mukhshal kabel tumma. If that's the case, it can't be chaytzitz. And for the Gemara, hacha b'may askinon, where it was nilosh b'may peiros. Being that it was nilosh b'may peiros, lav dafkid ever came in contact with any of the mashkin that has the ability to make a tumma, because may peiros is not one of those mashkin. That's for that reason. Shmuel needed to say that Bechai Gavna, where the rokik is a dover she'ena mekabel tumah, thus you would have thought it could be chaytzeitz. The halach is it's not chaytzeitz, and the reason that it's not chaytzeitz is because you are going to remove it. Meisevei, the Gemara asks Akasha from a Mishnah in Meseches Aholos, Perikvav Mishnah Beis. Kupa Malaya Tevin. There was a basket that was filled with straw. V'chavas Malaya Groigris. Or a barrel that's filled with Groigris, dry figs. Hamunachim B'chaloin. And this Chavas Malaya Tevin, or the Chavas that was Malaya Groigris, was put by a window. And again, there's a mace on one side. Now we're trying to figure out if this Kupa Malaya Tevin, the Chavas Malaya Groigris, has the ability to be Soisim the Chaloin. Royin, so says the Mishnah, we have to do the following exercise. We ask ourselves, we make an assessment. Kol She'ilu Yunah. In the event that the kupa would be taken away, or the chavis would be taken away, would the tevin and the groigris be able to stand by themselves, or would they not be able to stand by themselves? If they would be able to, then the halach is they're a chatzitza, vimlav. And if they can't stand by themselves, it's not going to be a chatzitza. In other words, the kupa itself and the chavis itself is not a chatzitza. The only way you're going to have a chatzitza here is if you can look at the tevin as being chaytzitz, and if you look at the groigris as being chaytzitz. So what does that depend on? You have the tevin, you have the groigris, but it's in a kupa, it's in a chavis. So do we look at it as if it's tuffel to the kupa and the chavis, or can we look at it as something independent? So if it's something that's yechoylin lamay bifnei atzmon, so then we could look at it as being something independent. And if that's the case, the halacha is that it's going to be chaytzitz. If, however, you can look at it as being able to stand bifnei atzmon, then it's not going to be chaytzitz. Now, why is it that the kupa and the chavis themselves are for sure not chaytzitz? Rashi says l'fishay mekabel tumah, because these are things that are mekabel tumah, and being that they're mekabel tumah, so then themselves, based on the rule we just mentioned a second ago, don't have the ability to be chaytzitz. The tevin, however, and the groigris are lav dafka mekabel tumah, and it's for that reason, if we can view them as an independent entity, so then they have the ability to be chaytzitz. If not, they won't be able to be chaytzitz. What's the Gemara's kasha? It's a kasha on Shmuel. V'atevin chazi l'behemtoy. Let's start with the tevin first. The kupa malei tevin. You're telling me the kupa can't be chaytzitz because it's a davra mekabel tumah. Okay, but the tevin could. I understand the tevin is not necessarily a davra mekabel tumah, but the tevin is not going to be there forever. Why not? Because it's chazi lebehemtoy. You can feed it to your animals. So why would I leave good tevin that I could feed my animals by the window? I'm probably going to remove it. Now, if I'm going to remove it, based on Shmuel's halacha, it shouldn't have the ability to be chayitz. It's a kash on Shmuel, but the Gemara answers besario. It's talking about where the tevin was spoiled. It's fafolt, and as a result, this is something that you're actually going to leave there. Says the Gemara, chazi latino. Even if it's spoiled, but you could still use it to mix together with tina. Tina is clay, so it still has a commercial function, meaning you're not going to take spoiled straw and feed it to your animal. But at the same time, you may use it in the process of making clay. The Gemara says, the ispe koitzi. It's talking about where there were thorns inside of it. Okay, and Rashi gives an interesting reason. Why wouldn't you use tevin with thorns to make clay? Because the way they used to make clay is they used to stamp on it barefoot. So if there's thorns in it, you're probably not going to stamp on it barefoot. The bottom line is, it's an akimta. It's talking about where, number one, it was spoiled. Number two, it also had thorns in it. It says the Mar Chazik La'asaka. But why can you use it as fuel for a fire? Again, you're not going to leave it there forever. The assumption is if there's anything to do with it, you're probably going to do with it. So according to Shmuel, why is it a chatzitza? The Gemara says, b'matuna. It's talking about where it was moist. It was wet, because it's wet, so you can't throw it into a fire. It's not going to work. Says the Gemara, chazik lehesegadol. It's true, you can't throw it into a small fire, but if you have a huge fire, so the huge fire is going to be mechamim, the dampness, and l'chur, it's still functional. So the Gemara says, hesegadol l'shchiach. It's a milsut l'shchicha to have a hesegadol, and as a result, being that we're talking about where it was spoiled, it had thorns, and it's wet, so chances are he's going to leave it there. I maybe he'll have a hesagadol. That's a milsul shchicha. It's for that reason that in and of itself has the ability to be choitzes. So again, the kupa can't be choitzes because it's a davar mekabel tumah. The tevin, based on all the super duper kimtas that we just made, can't. So could you look at the tevin bifnei atzmei? It depends. Royim kol sheilu yunatlu v'yicholim tevin lame bifnei atzmei choitz. Now the Gemara shifts its attention from the kupa malei tevin to the chavis malei groigris. Again, the chavis itself is a davar mekabel tumah, therefore it can't be choitzes. The groigris, however, could freit the Gemara groigris according to Shmuel ha chazile l'chura you can eat. The Gregors, Amar Shmuel. Shmuel himself answered the question. He said, Rashi says, Hisliu. It's infested with worms. As a result, you're not taking it, you're not eating it. V'chein Tani Rabbi Baravua, B'shehisrifu, Rabbi Baravua, actually, he had a brisa that was mefarish this Mishnah and a holos exactly this way. So in the first Mishnah, Shmuel himself said it as a v'yesh leimer to the kasha on his halacha. In the second Mishnah, it's actually a mefurish brisa. It says the more hay chavis hay chidamik. Let's analyze this halacha a little bit better. So again, you have a chavis that's maleya groigros. The chavis itself can't be chaitzitz. Why not? Because it's a davar hamikabel tumah. The question is the groigros that are inside of it. Freit the gemar, I don't understand. Either pumulabar, this chavis has an opening, right? Obviously, it's a chavis. Just think of a barrel. Now, if that opening is Lebar, Rashi says, Litzad habayis she'en hames betoiche, last Rashi on the Omid, is the opening facing, not the room where the mace is, but the other room, he gufa teichetz, it should have the ability to be choytzetz. Why? Dok licheres ain't a metama migabi. Everybody knows the halacha, Zvachim daf gimel, that a klicheres is only metama mi toichoi. So the only way a klicheres is metama is if something falls into the klicheres and there's a davar tome inside the klicheres, that's when it's metama. But the back of the klicheres is not mekabel tuma. If something touches the back of a klicheres, it's not tome. Kol asher b'soicha yitmo. It's a special gzeres hakosav regarding a klicheres. Meaning, if it's the back part of the klicheres that is facing where the mace is, that means it's actually not a davar mekabel tumah. If it's not a davar mekabel tumah, let it be chaitzis. So the Gemara says, girsas habach loy tzricha de puma legav. It's talking about where the opening of the klicheres was facing where the mace is, and as a result, it does have the ability to be mekabel tumah. Anybody say me, you can say loy de puma legav. You don't necessarily have to make that a kimta. Hachod mayaskida b'chavish al matches. Who said this chavis was made out of cheres? I guess traditionally, the chavises were made out of cheres, but you could always make an akimta was a metal chavis. A metal chavis is metama betoichai, it's metama migabai, and as a result, it's not going to make a difference. Meisavei, the Gemara now is going to ask another kasha, this time, not from a Mishnah in a Halis, but from a Tosefta in a Halis, Perek Yud Dalid Halacha Vav. It's a long Tosefta, and the Gemara is going to ask from literally every single line in this Tosefta. Asavim Shetolshon, if somebody had grasses that he ripped out of the ground, V'nicham V'chaloin, and again, he put it in a window that was a Tefach Al Tefach, that was in a wall that separated two rooms that had a mace on one side of it, right? It's all the same case. Or these Asavim were not placed by the window, but they grew there by themselves. Bachaloinois, umatloinois, or if you have shmatis, just pieces of fabric, sheimbem sholish al sholish, that's less than gimelat spoys al gimelat spoys. The significance is that matloinius, that's gimelat spoys al gimelat spoys, is mekabel tumah. If it's less than that, it's not a shir choshev, and as a result, it's not mekabel tumah. Or if you had a behemah and a chaya that had one of its evarim or some of its flesh, midudolim. It was hanging. So it was a little bit detached from the actual animal, but it's not completely amputated. It's not completely detached. Now, the aver and the basar are being soysim the chaloin. So the visual is a little tricky. But the bottom line is you have the behemoth that's next to it. And the aver and the basar, hamidul dolim, are right now being soysim the chaloin. Or you have a bird that nested itself by the chaloin. Or you have a nochri, an eni yehudi, that is by the chaloin. Uben shmoin hamunuch b'chaloin. This is really interesting. You have a child that was born in the eighth month. That's by the chaloin. V'hamelech, or zaltz, v'klichere, an earthenware keli, v'seifa Torah, or a seifa Torah, when mom is running the whole gamut of different things over here, kula mematim b'chaloi. Wow. All these things have the ability to mematim b'chaloi. Hashelik snow, v'abord is hail, v'aglid v'akfar are both types of ice, v'hamayim and water, kulam ein matim b'chaloin, they're not memayit b'chaloin. Now, the safe of this Mishnah is very, very easy. All these things are eventually not going to be there, right? Snow will eventually melt, as will hail, as will ice. So that All these things, we don't assume are going to be there very long. But everything mentioned in the Reish of the Tosefta, even though there are a bunch of interesting things, right? You'd never put this Chabura together necessarily. But the bottom line is, they're all things that you assume are there to stay. And as a result, they have the ability to be memayit b'chaloin, says the Gemara. Let's take it from the top. The first thing mentioned was asofim. Grass is memayit b'chaloin. V'asofim chazul b'hem toy. According to Shmuel, that what? That anything that you have by a chaloin, but that we could assume you're going to take away. The halacha is, it's not memayit. L'chayra, grass is something that's chazul b'hem toy. Meaning, it's something that you can feed your animal, and if that's the case, so why do we assume that it's going to be there? We should assume you're going to take it. Isn't this a mefurish tosefta, not like Shmuel? So the Gemara says, bafrasta, we're not talking about any type of grass, but we're talking about afrasta grass. What's unique about afrasta? Rashi says, for husam hamoves lebehema. It's mamish poison for an animal. And because it's poison for an animal, you're not going to take it to feed your animals. Okay. Oisha olu meile. The next thing that was mentioned in the Braisa was that if the grasses grew by themselves, so again, that's soysim the chalim. Frey tigmar, keep it the kosher, the koisel shakalu. The metzias is that those grasses, sounds almost like mold, that grow there, at some point, you're going to remove it because it's just bad for the wall. So if it's bad for the wall, you're going to remove it. So according to Shmuel, why does it have the ability to be mad b'chaloin? Amar Rabbi, Rabbi said, b'koisel churva. It's talking about where this whole house was like a haunted house. It was a churva. It's not a regular house that people live in. And as a result, it's not something you have to worry about. Rapapa said, b'fidl b'koisel yishuv. It doesn't necessarily have to be talking about where the koisel was a churva. It could be a regular koisel yishuv. B'boim chutz l'shloish l'chaloin. The case is where the roots of the grasses that were growing in that area were more than 3 tefachim removed from the window. It was the top of the asavim that came to the window. Now, the metzias is that it's the shroshim that affect the wall, but if the tops are there, it's not going to affect it. And even if the shroshim are within 3 tefachim, it could affect it, but if the tops are there, it won't. And it's for that reason, it's not going to be a problem. Incidentally, what's the makar that if somebody plants something close to a wall, it's bad for a wall? And by the way, this is one of the linkages to Perek LaYachbar. It's the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Mishnah said, "Marchikin es hazroin v'samachreisha v'smeiraglayim min hakoisel." How much? Shloisha tvachim. This is one of the reasons we're having this conversation right now. It's this tashma, because you see from here that you have to be marchik zroim from a koisel 3 tefachim. The assumption was that asavim that are by the koisel are bad for the koisel. The Mishnah in Perek LaYachbar. The teretz is that it's only a problem if it's within 3 tefachim, and it's the shroshim that are the problem. It's talking about with the shroshim when more than 3 tefachim removed, right? See from the Mishnah, within 3 tefachim, it's a problem. 3.5 tefachim is already not a problem. The tops are there. The tops, that's already something that's going to affect it. Matloinius, right? Another one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah, what? In the Tosefta was matloinius, these shmatas. So if it's a shear that's less than gimel atzbois, al gimel atzbois, so it's not mekabel tumma. So then the halach is, it could be chaitzitz, right? If it's mekabel tumma, it can't be chaitzitz. But if it's not mekabel tumma, so then it's going to be chaitzitz. Right, the Gemara, chazik the kriya de levusha, l'chura, it's something that you may take. And the reason you may take it is because you use it as a patch. So if you have a torn baguette, who said you're not going to use it for that? So the Gemara says, besmichta. It's talking about where it was very thick. Rashi says, av yoisimidai. It's like very, very thick. You would never use it as a patch. Says the Gemara, chazul umna. A doctor can use it. Now, why would a doctor use it? Rashi says, because old school medicine was very much featured around hakazas hadam, bloodletting. And when someone was makis dam, there was always a little bit of a wound, so they would use it to clean the wound. And apparently the you had to be there, would use these patches that were very, very thick. So Frank the Gemara, why is it not chazil umna? And the Gemara answers, beriska. It's talking about where the fabric was a fabric shumisaret, that if you rub it on you, it's actually going to cause another wound, right? It's not a smooth fabric, and as a result, it would never be used. Now, the Gemara assumes that riska is a sack. Sackcloth is technically something that's like that. So the Gemara is a follow-up question. Iber risk, if we're dealing with a risk, shein ben shalosh al shalosh. So why is the shir, whether it's makabal tum, not makabal tum, whether it's given let's boys, not given let's boys. Shein ben al bar lar bami boyalei. It's a whole different shir. It should be four tvachim al four tvachim. Because the minimum shir of sack, as it relates to the makabal tum, is different than a regular garment. Regular garment, it's given let's boys, not given let's boys. But when it comes to sackcloth, it's dalet tvachim al dalet tvachim. So it says the Gemara, if that's the akimta, then we got the wrong shir. So the Gemara says, no, kein risk. It's not literally a sackcloth. It's something that's like a sackcloth. It's like a sackcloth in that it's mesaret, but it's not a sackcloth. Therefore, the shear is gimel etzpois, gimel etzpois. It's not dalet tvachim al dalet tvachim. Moving along in the Tosefta, eva v'abasa hametudolim bebehema ubechai. So if you have this eva and this basa that's hanging from the behema and chaya, it too has the ability to plug this hole. Freak the Gemara, Ark of Asla. Why not worry that the animal's going to run away? I mean, how can an animal be a proper stima? I mean, an animal has a life of its own. And if that's the case, how could that even be entertained? So the Gemara says, Bikshura. It's talking about where it was tied. Freak the Gemara, Shachitla. Again, this is all in the world of Shmuel. At some point, you're going to shacht it, right? So the Gemara says, Bitmei, it wasn't kosher. Mazbalei Nachri, you're going to sell it to the Eni Yehudi. Meaning, you can't eat it, but he could eat it. Says the Gemara, Bekhush, let's talk about where it was such a shvacha, uske diet the animal that no one's going to eat it. Pasuk shadi lo leklavim. The Gemara says, okay, but at the very least, why don't we assume that you're going to cut off the aver and the basa, that's middle dalim, that's the part that's being sliced in the chaloin, and you're going to feed it to the dogs. So the Gemara says, kiven de ikka tsar bali chayim lo yavid. Being that the tsar bali chayim, we actually do not assume that this is something that you are going to do. Incidentally, the Rishonim talk about why you're not concerned that you're going to take the whole animal and feed it to the klavim. That, the Gemara, for some reason, doesn't even entertain. Another one of the things mentioned that Tzavta was that if there's a bird that perched itself by the chaloin, it's sliced. Feed them a park vazel, what do you mean? Now it's there. But, right, these birds are all over the place. So at some point, it's going to fly away. So the Gemara, because talking about where it's tied. Shachale, why we're not concerned you're going to shech? The Betami, it wasn't kosher. Mazbalei l'nachri, says the Gemara, because nisa. Rashi, oif kochush ma'oid. It's very, very weak and very, very thin. And as a result, it's ain royal l'shom adam. Even a nachri is not going to eat it. Fate the Gemara, yovle liyanuka. You may give it to a child to play with. Gemara says, v'misarit, it's talking about with this. If used to scratch, and as a result, you're not going to give it to a child to play with. Wait, talk to Gemara, 1 second. You just said it's talking about a kolnisa, and you're telling me it's mesaret? So again, we're missing this information, so we can never be mechavim to such a kash in the Gemara. But the Gemara's kash is kolnisa loy mesaret. Namely, tnius is that the kolnisa was not mesaret. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's an excellent kash. You have to say kein kolnisa. It's not mamish the kolnisa. It's kein kolnisa in that it's mesaret. I'm sorry, in that it's kachush, but at the same time, it's also something that was misaret. The nachri sheyoshev b'chaloin. The nachri who's sitting by the chaloin, he has the ability to serve as a hafsaka. Freik the Gemara, koivaz. Why are you not worried that he's going to pick himself up and at some point say, I don't want to spend the rest of my life here by the chaloin? So, l'chura, even though he's there now, but he's not going to be there forever. So again, it's a kash on Shmuel, because Shmuel's the one that said that if you put the donut by the window, being that at some point you're going to want to eat it, so therefore it's not considered a chatzitza. So how could the nachri be a chatzitza? So the Gemara says, a kav, talking about where he was tied down. Also, chavri sharele. Why are you not concerned that his friend is going to come? He's going to untie him. Gemara says, b'mitzayra. He's a mitzayra. No one's going near this guy. Freit the Gemara, osi mitzayra chavri sharele. Another mitzayra might come to him. So the Gemara says, ela b'chavushay malchus. It's talking about where this person was incarcerated, and he was incarcerated, mamish, right there by this. These are super duper akimtas, so no one's going to remove him. He cannot be removed, and that's why, you know, he's there to stay. Incidentally, why are we talking dafke about a nachri? What if he's a Yehudi? So Rashi says on top of the Amid, it's the fourth line, nachri eino mekabel tumah. It's because a nachri is not mekabel tumah, a yid is mekabel tumah, which is a whole sugya b'fnei atzmai. Uben shmoyna hamunach b'chaloin. A ben shmoyna that's munach b'chaloin also has the ability to be chaytzitz. Now, why a ben shmoyna as opposed to a ben tisha, right? What's so significant about a ben shmoyna? So that same Rashi says, v'chein ben shmoyna, shareu ke'evan, loy chay v'loy meis. Because in halacha, we treat a ben shmoyna like an evan. Once upon a time, a ben shmoyna, al pi derech hateva, did not have the ability to be survived. To survive, was treated like a nefil, and snegeya, whether it's milos like a Shabbos, and perikrab le'ezet the milo. But the bottom line is, a ben shmoyna, munuch b'chaloin, so the halacha is, he's not mekabel tomo. Why? Because he's like an evan. So even if he's a yid, he's not a kabbal tuma. Therefore, he has the ability to be chaytzitz. But the Gemara's kash is asi im yadarale. Why not worry that his mother's here to take him away? So the Gemara said b'shabbes. So bad I was on Shabbos. Time we learned to the rice. Shmoy na reu ke'evin va'aso l'tal tloy b'shabbes. He's mukta on Shabbos. Aval imoy soicha olov u'manikta mipnei hasakana. Although he's mukta, the mother has the right to go to where the baby is and nurse the baby. Bend over and nurse. But the bottom line is, it's talking about where it was Shabbos, and being there at Shabbos, he's mukta, so we assume he's going to be there. Melach. Another thing that was mentioned was melach, salt. Freik the Gemara, chazilei. Why are you going to leave the salt there? So the Gemara says, bimerirta. It's talking about where it's the type of salt that's merirta, it's very bitter. No one's going to use this salt. Freit the Gemara, chazil oiris. You can use the salt to be ma'abed, to process hides for the tanning process. Says the Gemara, this be koitzi. It's talking about where there were thorns, you can't use it for tanning. Says the Gemara, even the kashil koisel shaklo. But at the end of the day, it's not good for the wall. And if it's not good for the wall, so shouldn't we assume that you're going to remove it? Now, how do you know that salt is not good for a wall? We learned it in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the first Mishnah. And again, this is another one of the reasons that we're having this conversation here. The Mishnah said, so you see from the Mishnah that salt is not good for a wall. And if that's the case, you're going to remove it. Says the Gemara, the Yosfa Chaspa. It's talking about where it wasn't making direct contact to the wall. It was sitting atop of Chaspa. Chaspa ba'alma, some earthenware shard. And as a result, if it's not making direct contact to the wall, it's not going to affect the wall. Says the Gemara, chaspa gufa techetz. So you're telling me you have a wall, there's a window, there's a chaspa in the windowsill. On top of that is the melach. And you're trying to figure out if the melach is memayit or if the melach's not memayit. Forget about the melach. Typically, the chaspa itself. So the Gemara says the last bashir. It's talking about where this chaspa was very insignificant. It was very not choshev. It didn't have the proper shear. What does it mean, the proper shear? So usually when you think of the proper shear, relative to the chaloin, that's not the point. It means, kidetnan, it's a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, cheres. If somebody carries a cheres on Shabbos, how much of it would he have to carry in order to be over the Malach of Yitzah, b'day reisa, that he should be chayiv, skila, and kares, and chatas, if he did a b'shogig? It's kidelitein bein patzam l'chaveroi. It's the size of a shard that a person would put in between slats inside a windowsill. But the point is, there's a certain shear of how big a cheres has to be in order for it to be chashuv for hoitzah. And the assumption is, here's the punchline, that so too, it would have to be that size in order for it to be chashuv, for it to be, have the ability to be memayit in the chaloin. So it's talking about where the chasm itself is not the shear that you find in Hilchas Shabbos. As a result, it can't be memayit the chaloin. The melach would be, and that's why we're mentioning melach. What was the kasha? You're going to remove the melach because you know from the Mishnah Layachbar, the melech is bad for a wall. And Shmuel said that when you have something that's being made, and you're going to remove it, it doesn't have the ability to be memayit. There it is. It's only bad when it's making direct contact. But if it's on top of this chaspa, which in and of itself doesn't have the ability to be memayit, over there it's going to be different. Says the Gemara, Kli Cheres. One of the things mentioned was a Kli Cheres. Chazile, why are you not going to use the Kli Cheres? So the Gemara says, the mitnev it's talking about where it was dirty and it was filthy and no one's using this Kli Cheres. Says the Gemara, Chazile Umna, a doctor can use it. So after we establish that it's dirty and it's filthy and no one's going to use it, but what do you mean? You can use it for medical purposes. Okay. Says the Gemara, the Menachem, it's talking about where there were holes in it and as a result, even the doctor is not going to use it. Just practically, it's not going to play itself out. Sefer Torah was another Inyan that was mentioned in this Tosefta, Kibim Maita Chaloi, Faith the Gemara, Sefer Torah, Chazi Lamikri. Right, sometimes you put a Sefer on the Svarim Shank and it's going to be there forever. But Sefer Torah, it's Chazi Lamikri. What's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Bibali. It's talking about where it was worn out, and as a result, it's not Roy anymore to learn from it. Faith the Gemara, Babay Gneza, you have to do Gneza, and for the Gemara, Shom Tehei Gnezasa, Hazal Lashon. Don't Atudas is the Geniza. That's what you're hiding. It's true. It needs Geniza, but that is a Geniza. And as a result, we could assume it's going to be there. And if it's going to be there, therefore, it has the ability to be Soysim V'chaloin. Moving along. So, the entire daf up until this point was surrounding a memra that Shmuel said. Now we have a memra that Rav said, Me inyan le inyan ba oisa inyan. Amar Rav. Ba kol oisa mechitza. You can make a mechitza out of everything. Chutz mi melach u revav. Meaning, if you have a mechitza, Hilchos Shabbos, Erevin, wherever it's Negeya. So you can make a mechitza at anything, with the exception of melach, which is salt. Revav is grease. Shmuel Amar Shmuel said, Afilu melach. No, even made out of salt. Amra, papra, papa, sefer loy pligi. This machloikis, whether you can make a mechitza out of salt, can't make a mechitza out of salt, is not really machloikis, even though it certainly sounds like a machloikis, right? Rav says, yeah. No, Shmuel says, yeah, okay, sounds like a machloikis. Mar says, no. Habemelech sedoimis, habemelech is steroikness. There's two types of salts. There's melech stoimis, of melech stoimis fame, of my machroinim fame, and then there's your good old-fashioned salt, what's referred to in the Gemara as melech is steroikness. So the melech stoimis, Rashi says, is of the kosher ke'evin. It was much firmer, and it's much stronger, and as a result, it's a mechitza. As opposed to melech is steroikness, right, it doesn't matter how much salt you have at the end of the day, that can't be a proper wool. Proper mechitza says, but now the rabbi said, "Oisa adam shnei tziburei melach." A person can take two humps of salt, umeniach aleim kaira, and put a beam on top of it, and that could serve as a lechi and a kaira at the entranceway of a mavoy of mesachtes erevin fame. And the reason this works, said Rabbi, is shamelach mamedas as hakaira, because the salt has the ability, this tziburei melach, to keep the kaira up. Vakaira mamedas as hamelach, and also works in the reverse that the kaira somehow gives strength to the melech. Says the Gemara. Now the Rabbi said that if you the melech is terekness, you can say the Sai Rav and Sai Shmuel were talking about melech is terekness for pligi had ikka kaira had leka kaira. Meaning could be melech is terekness in and of itself is never going to be considered a mechitza. But once you have the kaira is mamedes as a melech, so then already it's going to be different. So again, it sounded like Rav and Shmuel had a machloikas whether you can use melech as a mechitza, you can't use it as a mechitza. Whereas two mahalchim to say that it's not a machloikis. Either they're talking about different types of salt. There's melach stoimis and there's melach istereikness, or they're both talking about melach istereikness. One is talking about where there's a kaira on top, and the other one's talking about where there's no kaira on top. Exhale for the first part of the daf. That usually means raid. No raid. We're going back there. But again, so we had this whole lengthy, all this discussion. Why did we have this discussion? Because twice we referred back to the Mishnah. A pelican, a digression. But twice we referred back to the Mishnah. And it wasn't even a geya halach in the Mishnah. I mean, it was. But it was more like a metzias that we extracted from the Mishnah. Namely, that zaroinim, or grass, something that grows is bad for a koisel. You don't want it to be within three tvachim of a koisel. And salt also on top of a koisel is not something that's a good thing. Either way, the Mishnah in the world of Archakis Nezakim said, Marchikin asareichayim gimel min ha Shechev, Shehein Arba, Min Harechev. So a Rechayim, a mill, right, that's used to grind wheat, etc., can't be too close to a wall. So if you own a Rechayim and you have a neighbor that has a field right next door and there's a Koisel in between, you have to make sure that you're Marchik the Rechayim a certain distance. How much? So the Shechev has to be three Tvachim away, which means that the Rechev is going to be four Tvachim away. So again, what a Shechev, what a Rechev is, we'll leave that for the farmers. But the Shechev is the bottom part. And the rechev is the top part, right? The shechev is the bottom part because the top part is shoychev on it, and the rechev, drezech, it's roychev on top of the bottom part. But the bottom line is that there was an indentation on the top part of one tefach versus the bottom part. It makes sense that the platform, the foundation, would be a little bit wider than what's going to be on top of it. So that if the din is you're marchik from the shechev gimel tvachim, by definition, you're being marchik from the rechev for tvachim. Says the word, my time, but what's this all about? Like, why is a mill, why is a rechayim even bad for a wall? Mishum teriyo. The reason is because it causes the earth to shake a little bit, and it's not good for the sturdiness of the wall. Freit the Gemara, akash on this. Akash on the reason. What time you learn to the Braisna? V'shel chamar, that in the event that you have a rechayim shel chamar, shloisha minot strubel, so you have to be three tefachim removed from the strubel. That's the bottom part. Shein arba minot keles, which is four tefachim from the top part. And what's the kasha? The kasha is Rashi. V'ein akarka marit bigul guloi. So again, you have to be a farmer to fully appreciate this. But the Rechayim Shel Chamar doesn't make these vibrations that the regular Rechayim does. And still you see you have the same halacha of Archaka. If the pshat in the Archaka is based on the vibration, so why is it true for a Chamar as well? Mar says, right, Elam Shem Kol. You have to say it's the sound. The sound is a bad thing, and the sound sometimes can break and impact the wall. That's a taner shloish min akalyosh in arba min asafa. The Mishnah said the same is true as it relates to a taner, that you have to remove the taner from the wall three tfachim from the bottom part, that's the kalyo, which would by definition be four tfachim the safa, which is the topper. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Shmami, no, you see from here, kalyo the taner tefach, that the Kalya has to be one tefach wider than the Sof. Right, the bottom part of the Tanur has to be a tefach wider than the top part. Nafkemina, Abaye says this throughout Shas. Lemekachu memkai. Somebody buys a Tanur, and this is not the way it is, he's allowed a tiny mekach. Zok to Mishnah Michael. Liyamit Adam Tanur b'teich Abayis. A person is not allowed to keep a Tanur inside his house. Elam ken yeshal gabov goyve arba amis. Unless his 4 amis of height from the top of the Tanur until the top floor. So again, we're dealing with Abayis and an Aliyah. The person living in the bayis has a tanur. It might affect the aliyah, right? If there's dalet amis of space, so then already we could assume that the person living in the aliyah is going to be safe. Another halacha, hoyim amida baliyah. Let's say the person in the aliyah wants to have a tanur in his house. Tzorich sheyehe tachtov mazeva shloisha tvachim. So he has to make sure that the mazeva, which is the tit of the karka, has to be at least 3 tvachim. Thick. If it's 3 tvachim, so then the floor is thick enough that we could assume that the heat of the tanner is not going to blow through it and affect the person living downstairs. Ubekira, let's say he doesn't have a tanner, but rather what he has is a kira, then all he needs is that the maziva should be a tefach. A tanner gets hotter than a kira. Where does this play itself out? Perakira. So in Perakira and the laws of Grufa Viktuma and Shia V'Chazar and Hilchah Shabbos, there's a very basic nafkemina lalacha between a tanner and a kira. Now, we don't really have tanners and kiras. Today we have ovens, etc. Is today's ovens a tanner, kira? This is basic Hilchah Shabbos shaylos. But the bottom line is that there's a chil between a tanner and a kira. Tanner used to get hotter than the kira, and it chaps nafkeminas in Hilchah Shabbos. It also chaps nafkeminas in Loyachbar, in Hilchis Shcheinim, Vim Hizik. Let's say this person went ahead and did what he was supposed to do, meaning he followed the rules, and then he was mazik. Meshalim Masha Hizik, Taloch is, he's chayiv as a mazik. And this is above a common thing, that sometimes you could do what you were told you're allowed to do. But if you're mazik, you're still going to be responsible. Adam u'ad la'olam, and you're going to be achroi for what you did, even if what you did was right. Meaning, you would think, if I have a right to do it, so then if a damage takes place, so why should it be a problem? This is a sugya that comes up a lot in Bava Kama, Ner Chanukah, maybe mitzvah's different, right? But the bottom line is that the Mishnah says that even though you follow these rules, if you are mazik, you're going to be chad. Reb Shimon says no. Like Amru Kolash Yurma Elu Elo Shem Hizik Patim Olosham. The whole Tachlis, the whole Tayeles, the whole Yisayda Chsidus, the Shayrish Avoid that Tmim of these Shiurim is. What's the purpose? The purpose is that if you're mazik, you're going to be Patim. Not Allah. Like Yiftach Adam Chanushal Nachtoim. A person is not allowed to open up a store of nachtoim. I mean, you can't open a bakery, bishal tzaban, or some dying business. Tachas oitzer shel chaver. So again, you live in the bayis, your friend lives in the aliyah. Your friend's aliyah has an oitzer. He has a storage house. Now, what is he storing? So Rashi says specifically that what he's storing is wine or oil. So in the event that this person is storing one of these things, so then the halacha is you have to be very sensitive in terms of what it is that you're allowed to now place inside. So you can't on the bottom floor open a bakery. You also can't become a dyer. Additionally, v'loy refes bakar, can't have a barn there either. Be'emes says the Mishnah, b'yayin hitiru avaloi refes bakar. If what the person is storing on top is wine, so then already if you want to have a bakery, if you want to have a tzaba, you want to be a dyer, that you could do. But if you want to have a barn, that you can't do. In other words, the Mishnah is saying that if your shochen, living on top, has an oitzer, so there's 3 things you can't have underneath it. You can't have nachtoimin, tzabayin, and a refes bakar. But these 3 things are not for the same reason. The reason you can't have a bakery and you can't have a dyer geschäft is because it involves heat and fire and the smoke and just the heat is going to impact the oitzner that's on the top floor. Refes bakar is not about heat. It's not about fire. It's not about smoke. It's about odor. That's what it's about. The masriach. That's what the problem is. So it's not the same reason. Where does a chapa nafkemina? Yayin. Be'emes. Be'yayin. Hetiru. Avaloi be'refes bakar. Yayin, the heat and the smoke is not going to affect the wine, but the odor is going to affect the wine. Either way, a few ha'aris on the Mishnah. Lo yamid adam tana b'teich habayis. These are the Gemara's aris. Lo yamid adam tana b'teich habayis. Elam ken yesh al gabav goiva arba amis. Okay. Hoyim amid ba'aliyah. Let's say the tana was in the aliyah. So tzorach shehi tachta maziva. You have to make sure that the floor, the maziva, is shloisha tvachim. That's if it's a tana. Ubekira tefach. Great thing, we learned to the b'raisim b'tana arba. Ubekira shloisha. Different shiurim. For a tana has to be 4 tvachim. And for a kira it has to be 3 tvachim. Amar abaya. Abaya said ki tanya hi. That other b'raisim, which has much bigger shiurim, right? The tana goes from 3 tvachim to 4 tvachim. tvachim, and the kira goes from one tefach to three tvachim. It's talking about where the tanner was a tanner dinachtoimim. Why the tanner didon ki kira dinachtoimim? Their ovens, their bakers, their professionals were much heavier, right? They exuded much more heat. In fact, our tanner is the equivalent of their kira, and that's why our tanner, which is three tvachim, is the equivalent of their kira, which is three tvachim. And their tanner is hotter, obviously, so it's four tvachim. Yiftach adam chanos tana. Emhoyer refes koydemes la'oitzer mutter. So even though we said all these things are a problem if it's underneath an oitzer, but let's say you did your thing first, right? So you had your refes bakker, and then your shachin upstairs decided he wants to build himself a wine cellar. He wants an oitzer. Ah, you came first. So if you came first, so you have the mishpata b'chayr, you have the k'nimah. Baya, 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 say kibed v'ribet la'oitzer mao. What would be if the person on top, he didn't build an oitzer yet, but he's preparing for it, right? He already swept up the area and he's going to make an oitzer. Can you go chaperein and make a refes bakker, and you could say, oh, I preempted, the braisa says that if I came first, I'm allowed to leave it there. Another shaila, riba b'chaloi nois mao. So what if he wasn't kibei b'rifetz? However, your neighbor on top, he started putting in windows, and because he put in windows, it's obvious he's going to want sunlight to come in, and it's because he's going to have an oitzer over there. The Bach takes out the next words. Achsadra tachas oitzer ma. That we delete. Bono aliyah gabi beisay ma'u. What would be if he just started building an aliyah on top? So he's building this top floor. Now Rashi says this aliyah means it's an aliyah on top of aliyah. So he's building like a drittishtak, right? That's what's going on. And he's doing it for oitzer purposes. So again, in all these cases, he's showing some aschala that he's going to make an oitzer, but he didn't physically make it. If he comes first, I have to leave. If I came first, I get to stay. So what if he was gully daite, even did a pool and a maisa, but the maisa is not properly there? Says the Gemara, all these shaylas, tishbi, yataritz, kushyas, v'bayas, teiku, bayi, rafuna, breda, rav Yeshua, tamre, v'rimoni, ma. What would be if a person has an oitzer, and right now we put tamarim and rimoinim. Now, tamarim and rimoinim itself is not a problem. This is where Rashi says, by the way, what I mentioned earlier. Ein oitzer ela betfua, yayin v'shemen. I said yayin v'shemen. It's tfua, yayin v'shemen. This is the Rashi right here. And you see that tamarim and rimoinim in and of itself doesn't qualify as it relates to oitzer to trigger these halachas. So what's the shaila? The shaila is, although in and of itself is not an oitzer, but maybe it's a aschala for an oitzer. So if it's a aschala for an oitzer, maybe that would be an issue. And again, here too, the Gemara says, Tekub emes, b'yayin etir v'chul. Ton, b'yayin etir v'bnei shemash b'icha. So we said that you're not allowed to have nachtoimin and tzabam, tachas oitzer shochaveri. You also can't have refes bakar. Where's the negeya? Where Rashi learns, it's negeya. Tfur, yayin v'shem. But we said that there's one nafkemina. As it relates to yayin, only the refes bakar is a problem. However, the chanush al nachtoimin v'shal tzabam is not going to be a problem. And the Mishnah didn't give a reason. The Braisa gives a reason. And that is, Mipnei Shemashbicha. Interesting. All the heat, all the smoke, it's Mashbich the wine. So if you expose your wine to a Taner, a Kirayin, Nachtoimim, and the Yoira, it's actually a good thing. Okay, v'loy refes bakar, but a refes bakar is not good, Mipnei Shemashbicha. I'm Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef said that, listen, could be there was a time that this was the case. You would expect Rava to say this. It's Rava's Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef, who says this. He said, Haydi don, our wine, I feel kutra de shraga nami kashile. He says, if you put a candle a little bit too close to wine, it's going to make the wine bad. Incidentally, our wine is the same way. Amar Rav Sheish said, at least that's what the Yoide Dover Taina. Vaspasta kirefes bakar damya, that if somebody has aspasta on the main floor, that's aspasta, that's Michael Behemo, so that's like a refes bakar. It's masriach, and as a result, it's going to affect any yoitzer that's going to be on top. So just to end with one leichte ha'ara, and that is a marumokim nifla from the Rogach of a Goyen. And that is, we know the pasuk says, with regards to a mitzayra, kol yimei asher hanega bo yitma, tomehu bodod yeshev, Michutz l'machane moishavai. If you take a look at the Torah's koyanim on that pasuk, bodod yeshev, mitzayra has to be by himself. He doesn't just get sent out of machne shechina and machne leviyah. He gets sent out of machne Yisrael as well. So the Torah's koyanim says, what does the word bodod mean? Levado yeshev. He has to sit by himself. Ein li elo zebulvad, says the Torah's koyanim. I would think that Zebilvad. Minayin le rabbis shar haminugoyin. How do you know that this is true for shar haminugoyin as well? Talmud loyma tomei bodod yeshev. So like many Torah's kayanims, it's a little sosum. What exactly the Ainli, Havamina, and the Maskana Talmud Loimar is. But Bodod Yeshev, Levado Yeshev. Ainli Elo Zebelvad. Minayin le rabbis shara minugoyin. How do you know other minugoyin? Talmud Loimar Tomei? That what? Bodod Yeshev? He literally has to be by himself. So the Ravid in his Pirush on the Torah's Kainim says as follows. Nearly the Fize. I think this is the way you have to read the Torah's Kainim. Levado Yeshev. What the Torah's Kainim is coming to say is that a Metzayra has to sit by himself. He should be like someone that's in Nidoy, someone that's in Cherim. B'dalad Amos Shaloi, where it's Osir to sit in his Dalad Amos. And this is true even for other Metzayroi. That a Metzayra is not allowed to be within the Dalad Amos of another Metzayra. Umikan lamdu chachamim shamitzayre kemenuda ukaavelhu keavel mitechsev achulu, and it goes weiter. But says the Ravid, you want to know what the Torah's Kainim is trying to say? Bodod yeshev means levado yeshev, and the rabbi is even shara minugon. Then not only does he have to be by himself, but he can't even be together. He can't even be together with another mitzayre. The truth is that there's a Gemara in Masechtas Pesachim Daf Samach Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara there also brings a brisa on this pasuk, Bodod Yeshev. Bodod Yeshev, says the Gemara, Levado Yeshev. He should sit by himself. Shalayu Tmeim Acherim Yoshvim Imay. What it means is that other Tmeim are not allowed to be with him. Now, if you look at Rashi on that Gemara, Rashi says like this. What does it mean, Tmeim Acherim? Kigoyim. Zovin Utmeim Mesim. Zovin and Tmeim Mesim are not allowed to be together with him. Lefi Sheshiluchay Shal Mitzayra Chomer Mikulon. Because the Mitzayra, his shiluach is more chomer than the other tmeim. He can't even be with the other tmeim. Shehu mishtaleh chutz gimel machnes. In other words, the way Rashi explains, bodod yeshev, levado yeshev, shalayu tmeim acherim yoshvim imoy, it means not other mitzayram, it means other tmeim. Kigoin zovin utmeim mesim. And the reason is because the hilcha shiluach machnes of a zovin, a tmeim mes, is different than the hilcha shiluach machnes of a mitzayram. The zovin, the tmeim mes have their machnas that they have to be out of, but the Metzayrah has to be even further. He has to be chutz l'gimel machnas. So that what does it mean? Shalayu tmeim acherim yoshvim imay, tmeim acherim, other types of tmeim, which is not the way the Ravid explained the Torah's Kainim. The Ravid of the Torah's Kainim is saying is, minayim l'rabi shara minugon, that another Metzayrah is not allowed to be together with another Metzayrah. Rashi here in Psochim Samach Zayin Amar Aleph, it doesn't sound that way. In other words, it sounds like we have a little bit of a chakira here. We know that the Metzayrah had to be bodi yeshev. He had to be by himself. Could another Mitzayra be with him or not? Could you have two Mitzayram together? Or could you not have two Mitzayram together? From the Torah's Kayanim, the way the Ravid explains it, it sounds like the answer to that question is no. From Rashi, Psochim, Samach Zayin, Amar Aleph, Tmeim Acherim means different types of Tmeim. It sounds like the answer is yes. So Zokter Rogachov Agoyin. It's in Sofnes Panech Alotayr Pashas Tazria on the Pasuk Bodod Yeshev Michutz Lamachin and Moshavoy. So he says as follows: Bodod Yeshev quotes the Torah's Kainim. Ainli Elazeb Bilvad Minayin LeRabbis Sharam Menugon Talmud Loimar Bodod Yeshev, and he brings the Loshon of the Ravid. Says the Sofnes Panech Bekitzur Loshon VeNafkemina. What's the Nafkemina? Meaning, what's the Nafkemina? What's the Chiddush of the Torah's Kainim? In Beis Mitzayram Mutarim Leisha Bevasachas Ketum Mitzayram be together. The Ayin Brochis Daf Nun Dalit, the Rashi Menochis Daf Tzadikei, the Ayin Bava Basra Daf Chof Amir Alf. This is what the Rogachov said on this discussion, whether two Mitzayram are allowed to sit together. So let's go backwards. What did the Rogachov mean when he said Ayin Bava Basra Daf Chof Amir Alf? He meant our Gemara. The Gemara talked about Ovid Koychavim is able to be memayit bechaloin. And the Gemara's kasha was, how could he be memayit bechaloin? Shmuel said a memro, that any time something right now is being soysim bechaloin, but you know that it's not going to be there forever, because you're at some point going to remove it. So now that loch is, it's not memayit. So the Gemara's kasha was, that l'chura, this nachri is kaiva azul, he's going to pick himself up and he's going to leave. So the Gemara said, b'kafas, took him out where he was tied down. But the Gemara said, asi chavri sharile, why are you not concerned that his friend is going to come and he's going to untie him? So the Gemara says, b'mitzayra, it's talking about where this this person was a mitzayra. Freita Gemara, even if he's a mitzayra, asim mitzayra chavrei sharile, why are you not concerned that his friend the mitzayra is going to come take him back? Ella b'chavrushei malchus. Said the Ragat Shava, what did the Gemara mean when it said mitzayra? Oh, he's a mitzayra, you can't go near him. But the Gemara's follow-up is, yeah, but another mitzayra can come. See, it's advice says, badad yeshev, levada yeshev means only a mitzayra klapi someone that's not a mitzayra. A b'tzvei mitzayraim, they're allowed to be together. Now, the emes is, this is classic Rogachev in terms of the Charifos, where he's learning this Torah's Kayanim and Sefalta Main, Baba Basra Davchav Amar Aleph, and Lachur, you have a raya from there that one Mitzayr can come to the other Mitzayr and untie him, vice versa, the din of Badad Yeshev is not a problem. But for us mortals, the Rogachev is a little Tzarech Bir. Why? Because our Gemara clearly was talking about a Mitzayr that's an Ovid Kechavim. Right? The whole Sugya Mitchila started off with regards to an Ovid Kechavim. And Rashi said the reason we're talking about an Ovid Kechavim, because the only time there's even a discussion and a conversation whether or not the person could be a chaytzeis is if he's not mekabel tuma, and people are mekabel tuma. Oh, the teretz is we're dealing with an oivik kechavim, and an oivik kechavim is nit mekabel tuma. Also, we're dealing with an oivik kechavim. An oivik kechavim is not subject to the laws of shiluach machnes. So, what does it mean then when the Gemara says he's a mitzayra? Not that you're not allowed to go near him, badad yeshev, but it means that no one's gonna want to go near him, and that the Gemara's teretz is a tzveit mitzayra doesn't have a problem. Why? He's gonna catch the machla hatashay. So, what difference does it make? Abelamaisa, the charufis of the ragat. And the Tzustel is mamish fire. But I'll tell you something interesting. He had three marmakoinas, the Ragachava, right? He said, I am brachis nun dalit, Rashi menachis sadike, and bava basra dafcha. So what's brachis nun dalit? It was last week's parsha. Last week's parsha, at the end of the parsha, chukas, so the Torah talks about the Yidden traveling in the Midbar. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael, vayachnu b'oivois. Vayisu mei oivois, vayachnu b'iyei ho'avorim. Vamidbar shal alpnei moivim, mizrach ha-shamash. Misham naso, vayachnu b'nachal zored. Misham naso, vayachnu me'ever arnoin, asheba midbar, hayoitze migvulo amoiri, ki arnoin gvul moiv, bein moiv, ubeinu amoiv. So these are some of the more obscure psukim in the Torah. And the Yidden are traveling through the Midbar, and they're in the general vicinity of moiv and Emoiri, says the Pasuk. Al kein ye yomar, besefer milchamo is Hashem, es vohev besufa, ve es hanecholim arnoin, ve eshet hanecholim ashe noto lesheves or ve nishon ligvul moyev. So what does this even mean? Pshutei shal mikra. The Yidden are traveling, they're in the neighborhood of Moyev and Emoiri, and all of a sudden, al kein ye yomar, besefer milchamo is Hashem, es vohev besufa, ve es hanecholim arnoin, ve eshet hanecholim ashe noto lesheves or ve nishon ligvul moyev. Taich. So zok rashi. Al kein ye yomar, al chaniyah zu, with regards to this chaniyah, the nisim shenasuba, and the incredible miracles that happened to the Yidden during this chaniyah, yeyomar b'sefer milchamis Hashem. So Grashi, kishe misaprim nisim shenasu lavoyseinu, when we're going to tell the miracles that happened to the Yidden that were in the Midbar when they left Mitzrayim, Yisapru, they're also going to talk about these miracles. As vohev v'goymer. So what does this mean, as vohev? So here we have a koloymer, Rashi. Koloymer. Es ashe yohav lohem v'hir benisim b'yamsof. Reading weiter. K'shem shemisaprim benisei yamsof. Kach yesh lesaper benisei nachle arnoin she'av kan nasu nisim g'doylem. Half of a fellow. You have a pasuk in the Torah, the way Rashi understands it, that there were certain miracles that happened to the Yidden when they were in the Midbar. Miracles that today, I believe, are a footnote in Jewish history. Hagam the psukim in the Torah, so that if you mava sedra, every single week, you say it twice with the Targum, right? But at the same time, it's not something I think most people are even aware of. But these miracles were so phenomenal and they were so fantastic and they're so grandiose and so critical that Kishem Esaprim Nisim Shenasu Laviseinu Zokrashi. Kishem Esaprim Ben Nisei Yamsuf. Kach Yesh Lesaprim Ben Nisei Nachle Arnum. Sha'avka Nasu Nisim Gedoilum. So the Nisim of the Yamsuf we say every day. As Yosha Moshe. But here we have other miracles that we have responsibility of an obligation to pasuk in the Torah that this is something that we have a chiv to talk about. So what were these miracles? What exactly happened to the Yidden in this context that is such a big deal? So in the next Rashi, Rashi says as follows. Rashi says, "Lefi shahayu haharim agvayim." In this whole area, where Moav and Amori was, there were very, very large mountains. V'hanachol amoik v'katzer. And there was a valley that went in between these two mountains, but it was very, very narrow. V'ahorim smuchim zalazeh. It was very narrow because the mountains were so close to each other. In fact, Rashi says, how close? Adam oimed al ahor mizeh. I have my shtender on this mountain, you have your shtender on that mountain, and we can learn together b'chavrusa. That's how close these two mountains were. And there was a derech, there was a path that went in between these two mountains. So the Amiram said, then when the Yidden are going to go inside the nachal to go towards Eretz Yisrael, we're going to come out of caves that were inside these mountains, and we're going to kill them. So they were literally waiting to ambush the Yidden to try to get them. Chitzim, Avnei Blisteroys, they're all stationed, and they're waiting for the Yidden to come through these mountains. The geography of it is literally set to perfection. They have a clear shot, and they're going to come after the Yidden. V'hoyu oisem hanekom b'har shel tzad moyav u'b'har shel tzad amayiron hoyu kineged oisem nekom kimin kronis. Rashi's so mayrich in the way he explains it. Either way, kimin shebo Yisrael la'aver, as soon as the Yidden came through, nizdaza ahar shel Eretz Yisrael, the mountain started to shake, kishivcha hayoytzeis lahavku pnei gvirto, like a shivcha that's running to be mekabel her master. V'niskariv letzad ahar shel moyav, the two mountains picked themselves up, they went to each other, v'nichnesu oisem hashadayim l'toich oisem nekom, the Hargum, and all the people that were there ended up dying. And this was an incredible miracle, and the Yid has a responsibility and an obligation to talk about this miracle. How much so? Literally, mamish, like the miracle of the Yamsuf. And that's Esvohev Besufa. What does Esvohev Besufa mean? Kaloimar. Es asher yoav lohem v'hir benisim v'yamsuf. Vohev is Miloshin Yohav, to give. Besufa is Miloshin Yamsuf. And just like the Yidden got miracles by the Yamsuf, and we talk about these miracles, Shoneimo, so too we're supposed to be Mesaper as it relates to these incredible miracles. Now the emes is like this. This Rashi and this whole story is mentioned in a Gemara. It's a Gemara Masechtas Brachas, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. But if you look at the Gemara in a Veinik, it's Beshinui Ktzas. It's not exactly the way Rashi is quoting it. So Rashi has his version of the story, but this version is not mamish the Messiah that we have based on the Talmud Bavli in Perakaraya Masechtas Brachas Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Just one kinach. We're not going to go through the whole story as it's mentioned here. Al Ken Yomer Besefer Melchamos Hashem Esvoy Besufa Ton Esvoy Besufa Shnei Mitzayram Hoyu. They were two Mitzayram. Esvoy Besufa are the names of people. One's name was Es, and the other one's name is Hev, and they were Besufa. They were Besoif. They were at the end of Klal Yisrael. And the reason is because the Yidden were traveling, and they're all the way in the back. The reason that they're all the way in the back is because they're a Metzayra. And the Metzayron have to be Chutz Lemachna. So it's for that reason that these two Metzayron were all the way in the back. Either way, the story, the way the Gemara tells it is that the Yidden traveled through, and the two mountains came together. And because the mountains came together, so therefore the Yidden, all the Amirah, all the people that were there ended up getting... If everyone can please mute. All the Amirah ended up getting killed, but the Yidden didn't even know about it. The only ones that knew about it were the two Mitzayram that were in the back. And the reason is because the miracle that happened before the Yidden came. So when the Yidden came, the areas were flat. They didn't even know there were mountains were there. But what happened was after the Yidden passed through, then all of a sudden the mountains reemerged, and when the mountains reemerged, the blood of all these Amiram that were killed all of a sudden emerged, and the only ones that saw the blood was Es and Hev. They were the ones that saw it, these two Chevra. And because they're the only ones that saw it, so therefore they were the ones that were Megala to everyone what took place. And that's the Esvoy Besufa. Right? They were the ones that saw it. It's interesting because we compare this to the Yamsuf, right? By the Yamsuf, it was Rasa Shivcha Bayam. Over here, it was Rao Shneya Mitzayron. They saw this great miracle, and they were the ones who told it. You don't even realize what just happened. Right? Sometimes Hashem's performing miracles, and we're not even aware of the miracles. These two Mitzayron, they were all the way in the back. They were chutz l'machad. They were the ones that were able to come to tell the yidden. But the bottom line is, says the Rokhi Chava Goyim, coming full circle over here, and that is, he says, that from the Torah's Goyim, it's mavur that what? It's mavur that two mitzayrom are not allowed to be together. Which is a little bit of a chiddush. In fact, Ayin Rashi Psachim Samech Zayin Amad Aleph says the Rogachov, you want Mar Mekoynes on whether or not two Mitzayrom are allowed to be together? Ayin Brachas Daf Nun Dalet. What's Brachas Daf Nun Dalet? Ace and Have, these two Mitzayrom, they were together. And being that they were together, oh, so you see, two Mitzayrom can be together. He says, take a look at Rashi Menachis Daf Tzadike. Over there, Rashi quotes this Gemara in Brachis Daf Nun Dalet, so it's also about these two mitzvot. I'm Bava Basra Daf Chaf Amar Aleph, and take a look in Bava Basra Daf Chaf Amar Aleph. It's interesting that if you have the Mechon Ofek Teres Koyanim, so on the bottom there's a footnote. It's footnote 19 Daf Kuf Nun Beis in Chelik Heivav. A whole arichos of different Mar Mekoymus as relates to this Shiloh. A mitzvot had to be bothered Yeshnev. But could he be together with another Mitzayra, or could he not be together with another Mitzayra? Another Maramakim is in Shailos Teshuvah Sin LeNefesh Chaya. That's from Zev Wolf Leiter, the great Sinai of Pittsburgh. And in Simon Lamed Aleph, he too has a tremendous arichos on this topic. His arichos actually comes from a very interesting place. The Shoyal asked the Makasha, you know what the Gemara says, that Oini is Choshev Kemisa. It's Lashon HaGemara Dav Zayin Amid. Beis in Mesechtes Nadarm. How do we know it? We know because the Gemara says, Ki Mesu Kala Anoshim, regarding Dasav and Avirim. They both died. And we know they didn't really die because they were going to be around for a long time. So what does it mean, Ki Mesu Kala Anoshim Ha'elu? What it means is that they lost their money. So the Ran, Kedarki Bakoidesh, has a whole Arichos. And the Ran says that we know there's Dalet Cheshuvim Kemes. So if there's Dalet Cheshuvim Kemes, so how do you know that Ki Mesu Kala Anoshim, which doesn't mean that they physically died, means that they lost their money. Maybe it means one of the other Dalet that are Cheshuvim Lemes. So the Ran goes through systematically and methodically each one of the Dalet, and he proves that it can't be. He says it can't be that they were a Mitzayra, and the reason it can't be that they were a Mitzayra is because you find that the Besoich B'nei Bekerev Kol Yisrael, the Pasuk says, and a Mitzayra has to be sent Chutz L'Gimel Machnes. So the Maratzchias on this Gemara asks Akasha, he says, Tzorech in Godel, he says, Yad HaVamina that Tassav and Avirim Mitzayra? The story happened before Matan Torah, right? Some Parsha Shmois and a Mitzayra Lefnei Adibur Zayin Matam Benagam. Everybody knows that. See, he says a Chiddush that maybe even though Mitzayra Lefnei Adibur was not Matam Benagam, but could be there was still a din of Shiluach Gimel Machnas. Either way, middle of this piece, he says as follows: Avle Inin Shiluach Chutz Gimel Machnas, the Kaimel on Bodod Yeshev Sheino Yoshev Afim Shar Mitzayroim Roinu Sheino Negel in Yonei Tuma. Dot dot dot. So the Shoyel picked up on this one line of the Maratzchias, that in the middle of a shtickel, you say this thing is shtickel, not for now, but in the middle of a shtickel, he throws in that what does it mean, Badad Yeshev, She'ena Yoshev, Afim Shan Mitzayron. So he asked Rav Zev Wolf Leiter, where did the Maratzchias get this? And Kedarki Bakoydish, he throws out Marumokim after Marumokim after Marumokim, as it relates to this whole Indian. There's Kayanim, that's obviously where it starts, but there's Ravid, Vichule, Vichule. Another one of the great Sinais that has a whole Arichas on this is Rav David Yoel Weiss. And this is in Megadim Chad. It's in Parshas Tazria. It's on the pasuk Bodod Yeshev Michutz LeMachne Moshavai Ayin Sham, where he's mefalful and he has beautiful, beautiful Mar Mekoymus. One of the Mar Mekoymus that he brings is from a sefer called Melitze Esh, and it's Erech Hagoyin Rabbi Yaakov Halperin. And in this sefer Melitze Esh, which apparently is a likud about different Goyim, so it brings one vart that he said. So this Yid Rabbi Yaakov Halperin, the source of you, Dovois Bekever, just say over his vart. He said the following. He said that Iyuv said, "Miyitein Eifay v'yikosvum milai, miyitein b'sefer v'yuchaku." Sounds familiar? The Gemara brought this pasuk in last week's Tafyoimi when we were learning all about Iyuv. So he said, what did Iyuv mean? Miyitein eifay v'yikosvum milai, miyitein b'sefer v'yuchaku. So he said, the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, that two people that are sitting and learning Torah, shchino imam. U'minayim shafilu echad. Hey, no, even if one person is sitting and learning Torah, shchino is with him. So the Gemara brings a pasuk for that. So the Gemara asks, akashu me'achad afilu chad, shrei mibaya. Two people that are sitting and learning, right, it goes even more. 10, 5, 3, 2, 1. If two people are learning Torah, Shechina is with him. Even if one person is learning Torah, the Shechina is with him. Now, if one has the Shechina, then two for sure have the Shechina. And for the Gemara, Trey Michtavon Milayu, B'Seif HaZachroinus. Chad Loi Michtav Milayu, B'Seif HaZachroinus. If one person is learning, so the Eibishter is there. But his chiddush that he says is not going to be written down. But if two people are sitting and learning together, then it's going to be yichtavu milayo. So he said like this, that we learned that Eev was a mitzayra. And we know a mitzayra is bodod yeshev. He has to be levadai. And what does it mean he has to be levadai? So this is Rav David Yoel Weishlitus Bekiyas. He added to that, that even shnei mitzayroim are asurin leishnev yachad, based on this Torah's kainim. If that's the case, Eev was able to learn, but he was an echad sheyoshev oisik b'teira. He can never be a shnayim. If he can never be a shnayim, he can never be zoicha to what? Trei michtov milayu b'sneifa azachroinus. Lochein espalol Eiv. So Eiv said a tefilo sheyisrapa mitzaratoi v'yochel lasik b'teirim chaveroi. And what's going to happen if he does that? V'ayudeza yikosven milay. So he said, miyitein eifoi v'yikosven milay. He says, who's going to give me? He said, I want to be healed from being a mitzayro. Why don't I don't want to be a mitzvah because I'm alone. What does it mean I'm alone? I don't have a chavrusa. And if I don't have a chavrusa, I can't be zoicha that my chiddush is going to be written down. So he said, me yitin eva, you cause for me like, divrei pi chochum. Either way, this is a fascinating topic and a fascinating discussion. We know the mitzvah had to be bodad. He had to be levadad. Could he be with another mitzvah? Could he not be with another mitzvah? So this is already something that all the Sinais had a lot of fun with. There's a whole bunch of different marmakoymas, softness panech, Parshas Tazria on that pasuk. What does it have to do with our sugya? Because kedarkei b'kodesh, the Rogachov Goyin said, I am Bava Basra Daf Chof of an Aleph. What state of Bava Basra Daf Chof of an Aleph? That a Mitzayra who's blocking a window and he's tied down. And the question is he there to stay? Or maybe at some point someone's going to take him to go? Well, the Gemara said, if he's a Mitzayra, you can't take him. I says, no, it's not true. Another Mitzayra could take him. Said the Rogachov, oh, you see, there's an Indian of Shnei Mitzayra. By the way, the big kasha on this is, there's a haftaira of the Arba Mitzayra, right? What happened to the Arba Mitzayra? And even the Rogachov, Biroiv Charifusa, he didn't even mention that as a Maramokim. That's something that all the Sinais talk about, and we'll stop here.